Well, good evening, everyone. We come to that time in our service where we get to hear from God's word. And so I'd like to invite you either to grab a Bible from under the seats in front of you, or you can read along on the screen behind me. Tonight we're reading from 1 Peter. We're reading chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. And that can be found on page 983 if you're using the Pew Bibles. 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them. Not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks for reading that for us. Friends, tonight is a significant occasion in the life of our church. We have gathered, as we have done, to ordain Lachlan Miller into Baptist ministry. And we need to be praying for them, concerned for them, encouraging them, lifting them up to God as they engage in this ministry. And now, ordination is not the church creating a pastor. God has already called, gifted, shaped Lachlan for ministry. Rather, the ordination is the Ngawi Baptist Church and the Baptist Association of New South Wales and the ACT publicly recognising what God has already been doing in his life. It's a bit like a wedding, someone has said. A wedding ceremony doesn't create love. It publicly recognises and celebrates a commitment that already exists. So tonight we celebrate God's grace at work in the life of Lachlan. We thank God for his calling, his character, his gifting and his willingness to serve Christ and his church. But let me say that ordination is more than celebration. It's also a reminder of the weight and privilege of pastoral ministry. Sorry, Emily. But the weight and responsibility are huge. You married him. You knew this was coming, right? That is why so many pastors burn out. Retire early, carry scars to their graves. One of the fellows who studied with me back when we graduated together, 12 months in a church where some people hated him and told him right from the beginning, we don't like you, we're going to get rid of you. Week after week, he's preaching the message and they are out to get him within a couple of weeks. Out of ministry after 12 months. There are weights and responsibilities, but there are joys. You know what they are? I'm looking at it. You are the joys of ministry. 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 Men and women, young people, teenagers, children who love Jesus and are following him, living for God's glory, serving Jesus, on mission with Jesus. Lost people found, broken people made whole by Christ. That's what it's about. It's costly, it's weighty, it puts pressure on you as a pastor and a leader. And sometimes what were your best friends sadly become your enemies. It's a weighty responsibility. Pastors are called to shepherd God's people in the world that is increasingly indifferent and sometimes hostile to the gospel. They're called to preach the truth in love when it is popular and when it is not popular. We don't change the word of God to suit the modern age. We allow the word of God to speak to the modern age and its belief systems. Preach the word to the church and to the world. Pastors are called to care for people through seasons of joy and seasons of grief. They're called upon people continually to Jesus Christ and faith in him. The Apostle Peter understood the challenges of ministry. Writing to Christians facing opposition and suffering, he turns his attention in chapter 5, that was read to us, to the leaders of the church. If God's people are to stand firm, they need faithful shepherds who do not waver from place to place, but they are faithful shepherds who love and care for the flock. They are serving God's people. And in this passage, Peter gives a charge to pastors and a charge to congregations. We have both of those things here tonight. And both are rooted in the same reality. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. So firstly, a charge to the pastor. Shepherd God's flock humbly. So most of you are going, oh, we just sit back and listen in. There's only a few pastors in the house. But you, many of you pastor in different ways, to youth, to children, to your home groups. But specifically to the pastors or the elders of the church, I appeal as a fellow elder, writes Peter. What is striking about this is Peter's humility. He was one of the 12 apostles. But he calls them fellow elders. He doesn't elevate himself above others. He says, we're in this together, my brothers, my leaders, my elders. True leadership is never about status. It is about service. That's an important reminder for every pastor. We do not elevate ourselves above others, but we are fellow servants. Friends, the world often measures leadership by power, influence, and recognition. Who has a platform? Who's written a book? Who gets to do the big gigs at conventions or at conferences around the world? Who gets invited? See, sometimes, who has a television ministry? That's not how God measures it. Jesus measures leadership by faithfulness, sacrifice, and servant-heartedness. He says, shepherd God's flock. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Notice what he says. The flock is not your flock, not my flock, not the church's flock. It's God's flock. So as pastors look at you, and these are congregations, I understand that you belong to God, and I have a responsibility under God to care for you, to guide you, to teach you, to feed you, to protect you from wild animals, to protect you from false teachers, to protect you from enemies of the gospel. God, you got belong to God, right? We need to protect God's people. Every pastor is an under-shepherd, serving under the chief shepherd. Ministry is stewardship. The people entrusted to a pastor are precious because they belong to Christ, the one who purchased them with his own blood. I didn't die for you. Jesus died for you. And I need to treat you with absolute love, commitment, and conviction. Pastor's task, as I've said, is often to feed the flock with God's word, to preach the gospel, to protect the flock from error, care for the weak, seek the wandering. Oh, how often you'll have to do that. That phone call, the person who hasn't answered that call, how are you? No message. Send another text. They don't get back to you. Try again. A week, a month, 2 months. Their friends try to get them. They won't come. They won't come back. They're chasing the world. They're chasing something else. Chase them. Go after them. Every life is special. Some of you have been away from God and God has brought you back. Glad to see you here. You know your story. We all have different stories. But part of shepherding the flock is to pursue people. Lachlan, you've been doing this for 6 years at Nawi. You're not a new person amongst us. Especially amongst our youth and their leaders and other young adults. You've seen people saved, baptized, a few more in coming weeks, transformed by Jesus, trained and equipped to love, serve and follow Jesus. We thank God for you and support of your wife Emily in all of this. And then he says, serve willingly, not because you must, but because you are willing. Ministry should never be driven by obligation. And sometimes you get up in the morning and you think, man, do I have to do this again? Anyone feel like that going to work? Yeah. Sometimes ministry is like that. You get up, Here we go again. I went to two funerals this week. One on Monday, a 43-year-old, a former pastor on Thursday. I wrote two sermons. I ran a Just for Starters. I ran a Bible study group. And I spent all day listening to talks at Katoomba. And I've been preaching all day. Why do I tell you that? That's not an obligation. I love it. I'm tired by it sometimes. But I don't do it because, oh, well, I just have to do it. I get paid to do it. You don't just do this because you get paid to do it. The pastor who lasts in ministry is not the one who feels trapped by ministry. And there are a lot of pastors trapped by ministry, but the one captivated by Christ. The one who has denied self, taken up the cross, and followed the Savior. And I say to pastors and I say to anyone else, is Christ your everything? Is he enough if other things are taken from you? If you're not sure, preach the gospel to yourself. You know the number of times I preach the gospel to myself, lying and worried about something in the middle of the night and at 2 o'clock, and I went, thank you, Jesus, that you love me. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for me. Thank you, Jesus, that you are in control of this world. Thank you, Jesus, that you will work a way through this difficulty. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? Preach the gospel to yourself. That's how you get over depression, over that anxiety, that fear. Remind yourself of God's goodness. You are loved by the God of the universe, forgiven through the cross of Christ, promised power for daily living through the Holy Spirit. You are secure for eternity. Preach it to yourself and preach it to others. The gospel creates willing servants. God takes hold of us and moves us to live for his glory despite the cost. Someone once said to me, talking about some of the difficulties you go in ministry, I've been doing this for about 35 years. I was at Bible College in 1990. So when I started mine. Count your years. Not everyone has been my friend. Some have been hateful towards me. Others have been loving. It must have been pretty normal. But no one's killed me yet. If I feel sorry for myself, no one's put me on a cross yet. My Savior died for me. I've got to get perspective, great sinners, when you feel sorry for yourself. You don't last in ministry until you build some thick skin by the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, come and follow me. All believers deny self, pick up the cross and follow. It's costly to follow Jesus. Paul said, I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. I can't help it. This gospel is life. Paul was an enemy of the gospel, saved by Jesus, commissioned by Jesus to be a missionary to the world. He says, I've got no choice. I'm going to preach the gospel. Serve eagerly, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Motivation for ministry is not money or recognition or influence nor platform. You serve because Christ first served you. You can't help yourself but serve. And lead by example, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Friends, people may forget your sermons. I forget my sermons. A few weeks later, I say, what did you preach this week? Oh, I'm sure it was in the Bible somewhere. But they rarely forget your example. A pastor's life gives credibility to his message. It's not control and domination. It's godly example. It's grace-filled living. The most powerful sermons are preached not only from the pulpit, but through a life marked by humility, repentance, love, holiness, and perseverance. Listen to this. A younger pastor asked an older pastor once who had served faithfully for more than 40 years. He said, what's the secret to lasting in ministry? What's the secret to lasting in ministry? They talked about, well, you expected something on leadership, preaching, vision, or strategy. The older pastor said, love your people. Stay close enough to them that you smell like the sheep. I don't know if you like that analogy or not, but you smell like the sheep. You're not distant from them. You're with them. You do life with them. He then described countless hospital visits, late night phone calls from a distressed congregation member, funerals, marriage crisis, prayers beside beds, cups of tea with lonely widows, conversations with struggling believers. He says most of ministry happens far away from a microphone like this. The world celebrates leaders who stand above people. Jesus calls pastors to walk among people, exactly what our Lord did. The good shepherd didn't shout instructions from heaven. He entered our world. He walked among us. He carried our burdens. He laid down his life for the sheep. I love how Jesus picks up the shepherd imagery. John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Ministry is about laying down our life for the sheep, not about building a platform, not building a reputation. When I got the call to come to Nauwea, someone said to me, the problem with that is, where will you go afterwards? Nauwea's a decent-sized church. Where will you go afterwards? And I said, why does there have to be an afterwards? We're not working towards a platform. People were asking me back then, how do you get that job so then I can get that job and get that job? I said, you're talking to the wrong person. That's not what God calls us to. It's not like a job in a business where you want to get a promotion, get more money and have more responsibility. It's about serving Christ. When a chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Friends, every pastor serves before an audience of one. Oh yes, he serves before all of us because you're the ones who can sack them. You're the ones who can make their life miserable or happy. But ultimately, I give an account to God on that final day. Amen? That's what I do. God will ask me for an account of my life as a shepherd of his flock on that final day. My approval does not, and a pastor's approval does not come ultimately from a church, a denomination. Well, we thank God for our denomination or a ministry network. It's the approval of the chief shepherd that matters. Secondly, a charge to the church. Follow and serve humbly, verses 5 to 7. It's also about the church. It said, in the same way you who are younger, submit yourself to your elders. Here the elders were sort of the pastoral responsibility, the pastors. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. It's not just the pastors who are called to be humble, all of us, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. There's something beautiful about humility. When you meet a humble person, you go away encouraged and lifted up. You spend time with a proud person, you don't get a word in. They don't know anything about you. Humility says, I care about the person I'm with. I will listen to their story. I'll commend them for who they are. I'll show love to them. It's not about me, it's about them. So healthy churches are not built simply by gifted pastors, they are built by humble disciples. Congregation is called to support, encourage, and pray for its leaders. And pastors are called to serve and care for the congregation. Together we model the humility of Christ. And the church flourishes when every member remembers that we all stand on the same ground at the foot of the cross. There was a famous preacher once, I read his story, and some people went to him and said, mate, you're a preacher and a lecturer and a theologian, you've written these great books. How come you've never become arrogant with all the successes you have had? And he said, how can anyone be arrogant standing before the cross? How can anyone be arrogant standing before the cross? It's through the cross of Jesus. The Son of God gives his life for us. And you want to promote yourself? Humble yourself before the Savior. I like what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. Remember, Paul was Saul of Tarsus, enemy of Christ, persecuting Christians, putting them into prison, having them executed. God appears to them in Acts chapter 9. Paul realizes that Jesus is the Messiah. He becomes a follower of Christ and a missionary. It says, I am the least of the apostles. I do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. He says, it's all grace. My salvation is grace. My living for Jesus is grace. My enabling is grace. God makes it all possible. He gets the glory. Peter says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. There's an old story from Africa. Listen in. It's about a water carrier who carried two large pots suspended from a pole across his shoulders. Can you picture that? One pot was perfect, and the other had a crack in it. Each day, the perfect pot delivered all its water to the village, while the crack pot arrived half full. It kept dripping. He's walking along. The crack pot felt ashamed. One day, it apologized to the water carrier. "I'm sorry," as if a pot can talk, "but I'm sorry because of my flaw. I have failed you." The carrier smiled and said, "Have you noticed the flowers growing along your side of the path?" As the water was dropping, the flowers were growing. The carrier said, "I knew about your crack, so I planted the seeds along your side of the road. Every day as we walked, you watered them. For years, I've picked those flowers to brighten homes and bless people." The crackpot thought it was a failure, but the carrier had been using even its weakness for good. That is the picture of the church. None of us are perfect. Pastors aren't perfect. Deacons aren't perfect. Church members aren't perfect. We are, dare I say, we are all cracked pots. Yet God delights in using ordinary, imperfect people for his extraordinary purposes. That's why Peter says, clothe yourself with humility, not arrogance, not pride, humility. Stop comparing, stop competing, start serving, and God will build a beautiful church through ordinary people. And thirdly, a charge to all, stand firm in God's grace, verses 8 to 11. Ministry is not easy. Following Christ is not easy. There is a spiritual battle before us. And Peter wants to encourage the church to stand firm in the grace that is in God. "Be alert and of sober mind," he says. "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kinds of sufferings." The enemy would love nothing more than to discourage Lachlan in his ministry, to divide churches, to distract you from following Christ. He loves to persecute Christians in Nigeria, to Christians in China, around the globe, and even in Australia. He loves causing damage. He's like a roaring lion. He's looking for opportunities to destroy lives, your life, my life, this church's life. We stand firm, united. Matthew 16, 18 says, Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." So let's pray for one another and remember that God is at work. And Peter closes with one of the great promises of Scripture. "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while," that's not just pastors, that's all of us, "will himself restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast." Humble, united, trusting in God's grace. Friend John Patton, I'll have a photo of him, like the beard. He was a missionary to the New Hebrides Islands. What is today called Vanuatu? Anyone sailed there? Been there? Yeah. But back when he went as a missionary, they were headhunters. They would cut you up and eat you up. He went as a missionary, it was the 1800s. And one time he and his wife were in their house and the local tribes came to attack them. They surrounded the house, the mission station. They didn't know whether they'd live or die that night. They thought their lives were coming to an end. He said, "We prayed through the night, committing ourselves to God and waiting for what seemed like certain death. There were large crowds around us with lights and candles. We watched them. We prayed. We didn't know what to do. And yet they didn't attack them. At dawn, the attackers suddenly left, surrounding all night, and then they left. Months later, the chief who had led the attack became a Christian. Patton asked him, "What stopped you that night from burning the house down? You were surrounded us for hours and hours, and then you left." The chief said, "What could we do? Who were all those men with shining clothes standing around your house?" Patton had not seen them, but God's presence, his angels, had been surrounding the house, and the enemies had seen that. What's the same pattern wasn't simply courage, it wasn't self-confidence, it was confidence in the God of all grace. The same God who sustained Peter, the same God who sustained the early church, the same God who sustained generations of pastors and churches, the same God who will sustain us. The future of the church does not depend ultimately on a pastor being ordained tonight Well, that's a special night. It depends on the God of all grace who has promised, after you have suffered a little while, he himself will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. So as we sum up tonight, we give thanks to God for his call upon Lachlan's life. We pray that he will shepherd God's flock with humility. We pray that this church will serve Christ with humility. And we pray that together we will stand firm in the true grace of God. For one day the chief shepherd will appear. On that day, ordinations, church buildings, titles, positions will fade into the background. It won't matter whether you're a doctor or a reverend. It matters nothing to God. What will matter is whether we were faithful. Faithful to Christ. Faithful to the gospel. Faithful to his people. And may the chief shepherd find us faithful when he comes. And to him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Let me pray. Lord God, we come before you with thanks. We thank you for your salvation through Christ our Saviour, who died and rose again for us. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you that we are part of your church, your family. And we thank you, God, that you call pastors and leaders to shepherd the flock. And Lord, we submit ourselves to you tonight, pastors, church members. Help us to honour Christ, to work in harmony with one another, to bring glory to your name. We surrender to you. We know we cannot do it alone. We ask for your power, your work, your grace to be working in us. We give you all the praise, all the glory, forever and ever. Amen.